Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources for Thursday, April 30th. As you can see, we have quite a few work sessions today. And first up, I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 634. Beth, if you can please refresh our memory on this bill.
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 634, you heard on the 21st of April. For the record, it has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. The amendment in front of you, the Dash 1 amendment, designates that state in-lieu lands that are zoned for exclusive farm use and are adjacent to the urban growth boundary are fourth priority for inclusion in the UGB. Designates that if lands under the earlier priorities are not adequate, fifth priority is land in an acknowledged comprehensive plan for agriculture, forestry, or both.
Okay. Thank you. And we have with us the co-sponsors of the bill, Senators Telfer and Senator Walker. Would you like to add a few items to the description that the committee staff already provided?
Madam Chair, Vicki Walker, State Senator, District 7. Senator Telfer and I had a meeting in my office with DLCD, Department of Land Conservation and Development, and with Secretary of State Kate Brown, and Louise Soliday, Director of Department of State Lands, and we narrowed the language down to what you see here in the Dash 1 amendment, and I think this is good to go, and I'll let Senator Telfer make any comment if she has any.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. In discussing this issue with the powers that be, we felt this is more appropriate language. We've actually moved the priority down instead of being top priority down to fourth priority. And I'm here to answer any questions, any additional questions you may have of us concerning either the bill in its original form or the Dash 1.
Okay. Are there any questions for either of those senators before I take a motion?
Madam Chair, no questions. I'm just going to put a motion on the table.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments dated April 28, 2009, and Senate Bill 634.
Senator Przanski moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated April 28, 2009. Is there any discussion? Are there any questions? Seeing any objection? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 634 as amended by the Dash 1s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Przanski moves Senate Bill 634 as amended with the Dash 1s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes, and I was going to ask the senators if you would be so kind as to co-carry it.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be an honor. Thank you very much.
I have to figure out who does what, but I'll let you do that. So thank you very much for your hard work on this bill and getting through the amendments so judiciously.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Now I'm off to hear more about the Oregon State Police. I'll see you later.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee, and thank you for hearing the bill.
Okay, thank you. With that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 634.
I'm going to sit here for a while.
And next, we're going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 741.
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 741, for the record, has a no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact statement. The amendment that you have before you, the Dash 3 amendment, was recently submitted. It approves Land Conservation Development Commission's recommendation that the Metolius River Basin be designated an area of critical state concern and approves the plan by rule. There's also people in the audience that are prepared to discuss the amendment further.
Okay, I'd like to ask the director, Director Whitman, here. Yes.
Just also for the record, there were written materials submitted on this bill, additional testimony.
Okay. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, Richard Whitman, the Director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Madam Chair, as you've heard from your staff, the Dash 3 amendments would amend proposed Senate Bill 741 concerning the proposed designation of the Metolius Basin as an area of critical concern. What the Dash 3 amendments do is to essentially respond to the memorandum from Legislative Council that was received earlier by the committee, and follow the advice of legislative counsel that the proper way to have the management plan put into law, if that's what the Legislative Assembly decides to do, is to direct the Land Conservation and Development Commission to adopt the management plan as a rule without change based on the recommendation of LCDC to the Legislative Assembly.
Okay. And my understanding is the Dash 3 is address the concerns that were raised by Legislative Council in the Dash 2s.
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Okay. So with that?
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 3 amendments in, dated the April 24th, 2009, into Senate Bill 741.
Senator Przanski moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated April 24th, 2009. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Okay. Seeing none, the Dash 3s are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 741 as amended by the Dash 3s to the floor with a due pass recommendation and recommend that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Okay, Senator Przanski moves Senate Bill 741 as amended with the Dash 3s to the floor with a due pass recommendation and recommend that it be referred to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion, Senator Haas?
Thank you, Madam Chair. What's with the 4s? Where did they come from?
I'm not quite sure. I think that they were, I don't think they're from a committee member. I think they're from
Madam Chair and committee members, the Dash 4 amendments were submitted to the committee by Hasina Squires.
Okay.
Why is this being moved to rules?
Because there's still some more work that needs to be done on the policy side that we were not able to complete here. That's why. Any other questions? Okay. So we have a motion on the table. Is there any discussion? Further discussion, I'd say. Any objections? Okay.
I object.
So noted, Senator Atkinson and Senator Boquist. Okay. And with that, the motion passes, and the bill is recommended for referral to the Senate President's desk for consideration to be sent as amended to the Committee on Rules. And do we need to assign a carrier, or that'll be done in rules?
Most of the rules.
Okay. All right, with that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 741. Okay. And moving right along, I will open up a work session on Senate Bill 691.
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 691, just to refresh your memory, we heard this bill on the 16th of April. The proposed Dash 2 amendment that you have in front of you includes a provision enacted or adopted after the effective date of this act of the Oregon Forest Practice and Act, an administrative rule of the State Board of Forestry or any other law or rule enacted solely for the purpose of regulating a forest practice to the definition of land use regulation, establishes that a claim for a reduction in fair market value is on a lawfully established unit of land that is attributable to the land use regulation on the date the claim is filed. There is no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
Okay.
On this bill.
And I would like to invite, is Director Whitman still here? And Ray Wilkerson.
Also, for the record, there was additional testimony submitted that you have before you also.
Okay. Thank you. Last, when we heard this bill, there were some concerns that had been raised on the previous, I guess, on the Dash 1s. Is that correct? Yes. So the Dash 2s is work of the folks that you see right here. So we'd like to hear directly from you. And why don't you go ahead and start, Ray?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ray Wilkerson, Oregon Forest Industries Council, and you're correct. Your description of the Dash 2s are correct in terms of how they got here, and Mr. Whitman and I and others worked on some of the issues identified by Mr. Carrier in the governor's office, which was the only thing that was kind of hanging it up at the last time you heard this bill, and I think those issues have been satisfactorily resolved, and I think Mr. Whitman could probably explain the specifics of the amendment, the Dash 2 amendment.
So I'm assuming you're in support of the Dash 2s.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. One of you guys.
Blowing in the dark here.
Madam Chair, for the record, Richard Whitman, Director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development. I'm here today essentially deputized by the Department of Forestry and the Governor's Office on this. I want to make that clear. Jim Paul from the Department of Forestry could not be here today. He's ill, so I'm standing in for him. As Mr. Wilkinson has said, I have worked with the Governor's Office, the Department of Forestry, and OFIC on these amendments. So I'm going to give you a brief summary of what they do. There are four main changes proposed by the Dash 2 amendments. The first, and all of these changes have to do with amendments to Ballot Measure 49, dealing with application of Ballot Measure 49 to regulation of forest practices under state law. So the first change is a change in the scope of what laws could trigger, what new laws could trigger a Ballot Measure 49 claim. And the change is essentially to have the scope include Oregon Forest Practices Act and administrative rules of the Board of Forestry, that's current law, but then also to include any other law enacted or rule adopted solely for the purpose of regulating a forest practice. So we have narrowed the scope of the application of this bill down somewhat from the bill as introduced, and that's the first change. The second change appears on page 2 of the Dash 2 amendments on lines 8 to 10, and that deals with the unit of property under Ballot Measure 49. In order to have a valid claim going forward, you need to show that the value of your property has been reduced by a regulation. And so we get into questions under the Forest Practices Act of what is the right piece of property to look at in making that determination. Do you look at each tree? Do you look at each parcel? Do you look at the entire ownership? So this bill would have you look at essentially each parcel, each legal piece of land that could be sold separately in determining whether or not there's been a reduction in fair market value. That's the second change. The third change is, and actually this is not a change from 691 as introduced, is on the appraisal methodology. Part of the original purpose of 691 was to recognizing that forest practices are over a longer period of time to use a different appraisal methodology for forest practices. The changes on page 2, lines 12 to 15, would accomplish that. That's the third piece. And then the fourth is on lines 17 to 20. That language is intended to assure that if there is a valid Measure 49 claim based on a regulation of a forest practice, that in the property owner makes a claim under Measure 49, the property can be sold and the subsequent owner can still maintain that claim for under Measure 49. So those are the four changes that have been agreed to in discussions with OFIC and the Department of Forestry and the Governor's Office. Thank you.
Thank you. We're in a work session now, so.
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 2 amendments dated April 23, 2009, excellent, into Senate Bill 691.
Okay, Senator Prezanski moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated April 23, 2009, into Senate Bill 691. Is there any discussion or any questions before we lose these gentlemen? Okay, any objections? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 691 as amended by the Dash 2s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Prezanski moves Senate Bill 691 as amended with the Dash 2s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, any objections? Seeing none, the motion passes. And Senator Prezanski, would you be so kind to carry the bill?
My
please?
Pleasure.
Okay. With that, close the work session on Senate Bill 691. And we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 80. Beth, could you provide a brief overview, and then I'm going to call up the Governor's Office to.
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 80, for the record, you have a fiscal statement and a revenue statement in front of you. We heard this bill on the February 5th. April 9th and April 14th, and it directs state agencies to use existing authorities to reduce greenhouse gas emissions immediately and to develop comprehensive planning to enable the state to meet its 2020 statutory goal. There was additional information submitted, and you have the Dash 6 amendments in front of you for your consideration.
Thank you, and David Vantoff is here from the Governor's Office. I'd asked him to come up and just very briefly tell us how the dash sixes differ from the dash threes, which is when we had the last hearing on the dash threes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dave Antoff from the Governor's Office, for the record. And to be brief, this is largely a kind of reorganization of the dash threes, an attempt to try and create greater clarity about what they were doing. For instance, Section 1 is a new section that kind of provides a roadmap of what the legislative intent is for the bill. A couple of the key issues that were modified from the dash threes was to this hard cap issue that was coming up, try to provide greater clarity that this bill does not include a hard cap, that what it's doing is to plan. It's a planning document to plan towards achieving the 2020 statutory reduction goal or whatever is technologically and economically feasible, and with direction to the agencies to make findings and to develop the reduction strategies around what is technologically and economically feasible, and not requiring them to plan to the 2020 statutory reduction goals if that is not so. The section on the advisory council is largely the same as the dash threes in terms of creating that. It's shifted a lot of the functions that were envisioned in that in the dash threes is now under a may rather than a shall, so that the council has some flexibility in terms of what they're actually doing in that work. But there's fairly detailed provisions around what the council's activities would be. The sections, there's a new section for that that establishes the essentially the role for the three core agencies doing the planning under the bill. That's the PUC for purposes of electricity and natural gas sectors, ODOT with the help of DLCD and DOE for purposes of the transportation sector, and DEQ for purposes of the industrial stationary source sector. The sections specifically around those three agency functions is largely the same as what was in the prior dash threes. There's been some changes. For instance, in the transportation sector section, it no longer states that they'll develop rulemaking prior to the next legislative session. The other, I think, clarifying piece in here is to try and make it clearer from the dash threes that this bill doesn't create any new legislative authority for purposes of achieving reductions, but it also encourages agencies to look towards where reductions can be done under existing authority, and then to plan more comprehensively for how to achieve the longer-term 2020 reduction goals. It also clarifies the schedule for reporting under the bill. That's in Section 5. And that sets out that the core planning agencies have to establish drafts that the council would review. The council, it clarifies the council doesn't have essentially a veto role, or the council doesn't override the decisions of the PUC, for instance, or the ODOT. In the planning document, they can provide recommendations to those agencies. The final drafts from the agencies come to the council prior to the 2011 legislative session, and then are forwarded to the legislature for the legislative review, along with a report from the council in terms of the overall activities of the council between now and 2011. One other slight change is the dash threes created the council and then would have repealed the Global Warming Commission. This dash sixes narrow the scope of the Global Warming Commission to focus just on adaptation and response to the impacts of global warming, with the understanding that the council will be doing the policy work around reductions and mitigation through the planning process that's envisioned in the document.
And, colleagues, this does have a fiscal, so we will be referring this to the Ways and Means Committee.
Madam Chair.
Senator Przanski.
I move that we adopt the Dash 6 amendments into Senate Bill 80,
okay,
dated April 24th, 2009.
Senator Przanski moves to adopt the Dash 6 amendments dated April 24th, 2009, into Senate Bill 80. Is there any discussion or any questions for Mr. Bantoff? Okay. Any objections?
Yes.
Senator, yes. Atkinson, so noted. Senator Boquist. Okay, with that, the amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 80, as amended by the Dash 6 amendments, to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that there also be a recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, Senator Pozanski moves Senate Bill 80 as amended with the Dash 6s to the floor with a due pass recommendation and recommend that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Any objection?
Yes.
Okay, Senator Boqvist and Senator Atkinson, so noted. And with that, the motion passes and the bill is recommended for referral to the Senate President's desk for consideration to be sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. And with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 80 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 472.
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 472, for the record, there's a no revenue impact and there was a fiscal statement issued. We heard this bill on February 26th. There was additional testimony that has been submitted. The proposed Dash 1 amendment that you have in front of you authorizes the Fish and Wildlife Commission to evaluate the remote hatchbox program in select rogue river basin streams beginning on January 1st, 2010 and ending December 31st, 2015. Outlines groups the commission can consult with before evaluating the hatchbox program, and the program would sunset on January 2nd, 2016.
Okay, thank you, Beth. And Senator Atkinson, you know how to clear out a room. We start talking about hatchboxes. But since this is your bill, and I know you worked hard on this amendment, did you want to add anything to that?
No, it's not exactly what I think should happen, but I think it's a place I have worked with the department and have letters of support of how they think that we can implement this using volunteers. I have no idea really why it would have a fiscal given that the way it was laid out in the discussions we've had, but I'm fine with sending it down to Ways and Means and believe it'll be received warmly.
Well, I think, again, this is going to be, since it didn't have a prior referral, is that correct?
That is correct.
So what will happen is it'll go to the Senate President's office and they make that decision.
That's fine.
And I think Jason's going to make the motion since it's his bill. So if we're ready, I think
yeah,
you want
Madam
to make a
Chair,
motion.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'd move we adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated the 14th.
Okay. Senator Atkinson moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated April 14th, 2009. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the Dash 1s are
Chair,
adopted.
I'd move Senate Bill 472 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation and recommend that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, Senator.
Unless the chair or the Senate President has a change of heart.
Okay, Senator Atkinson moves Senate Bill 472 as amended with the Dash 1s to the floor with a due pass recommendation and recommend that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Sorry.
Senator Boqvist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure I'd buy the fiscal, and I'd be supporting if it didn't have the fiscal, and I'd vote yes on it if it didn't have the fiscal, but unfortunately, I vote no on fiscals until
well,
the
don't.
But I look forward to voting for this bill on the floor.
On the floor. Okay, so noted. So that is noted as an objection?
Yeah.
All right, so noted. Seeing only one objection, the motion passes. The bill is recommended for referral to the Senate President's desk for consideration to be sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. I am going to assign Senator Atkinson as the carrier just in case it does not have to go to Ways and Means, and possibly after that as well. Okay, so with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 472 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 528.
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 528, if you'll remember, we went over the Dash 7 amendments last Thursday,
mm-hmm.
Starting to lose track of my dates. Since that time, we did realize that there needed to be an additional change. So the Dash 8 amendments that you have in front of you with there is a fiscal statement and no revenue impact statement on incorporates the Dash 7 amendments and make it clear that the fee that's collected for the emergency permits be deposited in the State Treasury to the credit of the Department of Agriculture Service Fund.
Okay. Senator Pozanski, did you want to add anything about the Dash 8s?
No.
Okay.
Just
so
thanks to Beth for getting that work done.
Yes. Thank you, Beth. So with that, I will take a motion.
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 8 amendments dated April 27, 2009 into Senate Bill 528.
Okay. So Senator Prezanski moves to adopt the Dash 8 amendments dated April 27, 2009, and I just will note that we had already adopted the Dash 7s, but this incorporates those changes and additional change in the Dash 8s. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it's not necessary to rescind the past one because it's completely included.
I just wanted to clarify for the record. Is there any discussion? Any objections?
Yes.
Okay. Senator Atkinson and Senator Boquist, so noted. With that, the amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 528 as amended by the Dash 8 amendments to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and recommend that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay. Senator Prezanski moves Senate Bill 528 as amended with the Dash 8s to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and recommend that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Any objections?
Madam Chair, before we get to the objections,
yeah.
Looking at the fiscal, it's interesting because the amount that's being reflected that's necessary for a half FTE is $85,260. It's my belief that those type of fees would be coming from other funds, not general funds, based on the program itself being self-funding. And so, you know, I think that's a question for the Ways and Means to be looking at. I just want to get that on the record for their review.
Well, since I sit on the Ways and Means Committee, and I'll make sure that that issue is reviewed when it comes down our way. But thank you for raising that. Okay, any other discussion? Objections? Senator Boquist, Senator Atkinson, so noted. And with that, the motion passes, and the bill is recommended for a referral to the Senate President's desk for consideration to be sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. With that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 528 and open up a work session on our last bill, Senate Bill 788.
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 788. For the record, there's no revenue impact, and fiscal statement was issued. You heard this bill originally on April 2nd. There is a Dash 3 amendment in front of you for your consideration. It requires Water Resources Department to collect a $250 fee for recording one or more certain exempt uses, including watering any lawn or non-commercial garden not exceeding one-half acre, single or group domestic purposes, in an amount not exceeding 15,000 gallons a day, or any single industrial or commercial purpose in an amount not exceeding 5,000 gallons a day. There was additional testimony submitted on this bill.
Okay, now I only have the Dash 2s, so I do need the Dash. Do you have a Dash
3? The Dash 2s is correct. That's
okay.
A typo in my SMS. Thank
you. I just want to make sure I wasn't missing an amendment there.
Dash
so
twos.
Just for committee members on SMS where it says effective committee amendment, it's actually the Dash 2s, not the Dash 3s.
But the paperwork is on the correct amendment.
Okay.
That was purely my typo.
So before we call people up, since this is...
She's human. I thought she was super human.
I know.
And moral.
And I actually caught something she missed, so I can't imagine. Colleagues, I wanted to let you know, you probably figured out this is a gut and stuff from the original bill. A little bit of background. I had a bill last session that we have exempt groundwater wells in the state, which you've probably heard about in different presentations. There's about 225,000 exempt groundwater wells in the state of Oregon, and so there was concern about giving out a water right without having to go through any type of permitting process. That bill did not go forward, but during the interim, I had a work group. We met, I think, for about 9 months or so, working on this issue of exempt groundwater wells. We had very good discussions, very robust discussions. There was agreement on some issues, not on all, but there was generally agreement that there needed to be additional funding for groundwater studies in the state. So what you see in front of you is a mechanism for funding those groundwater studies to ensure that we do have adequate groundwater to meet the needs of the citizens of Oregon. And we have general consensus on the approach that is proposed here. That is a registration fee. It is not a permit. And so that is a new fee. This will be going down to Ways and Means, of course, along with the other fee bill we passed. I also will draw your attention that section, subsection 5 under section 1. I also will draw your attention to subsection 6. And this is an issue that was also discussed in the work group. And I think I'm going to ask Doug from the Water Resources or one of the Water Resources Department folks to come up and give a better explanation than I can give. But my understanding was that we do not have accurate information about where these exempt groundwater wells are. They're required to get a start card, but not necessarily accurate information as far as location. And so what this would do is provide that information to the department. And so that's that subsection 6. Doug, if you can sort of make sure that I'm explaining that right.
Chair Dingfelder, committee members, thank you. For the record, Doug Woodcock, manager of the Groundwater Hydrology Section for Oregon Water Resources Department. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on SB 788. It has two important points to it. One is the map that would be included with new exempt wells, and secondly would be the recording fee of $250. As Chair Dingfelder pointed out, the work group did identify two points that where there was consensus that was reached, and one was we needed better location information on the map of exempt wells, and then secondly the recording fee. The reason of the interest in the map for the exempt wells is that in the permitting process we receive a map of where the well is located for the proposed use. So when somebody wants to use water outside of an exempt use, we receive a map that shows where that well is located. 85% of the wells that are drilled in the state of Oregon are exempt use wells, and that is that they are exempt from the permitting process. So we receive no map location of where those are located. The well log provides some information, a quarter-quarter information, and sometimes a tax lot information. But like I said, the sheer volume of wells that are drilled are relatively unknown as to their location.
Thank you. And a colleague said that this will provide that information that is will be very helpful to the department. And also the registration fee will help fund the groundwater studies and processing of these wells to make sure that there's adequate water when somebody puts in for an exempt right. Did you want to add anything on that one?
Chair Dingfelder, thank you. The funds will go to groundwater studies so we can understand the volume of water that's available in these basins. Secondly, it will go to monitoring. So where we need assistance in developing our monitoring programs across the state of Oregon for groundwater supplies. And then thirdly, for the implementation of this statute.
Okay, thank you. And colleagues, just so you know, since I also sit on the Ways and Means Committee, we're just about to zero out the Water Resources Department groundwater program because it's predominantly funded through general fund. Small amount of fees through Start Card, which Jerry knows very well because his well drillers, that's something that is currently on the books. But this will certainly help the Ways and Means Committee figure out if this is the approach in order to help fund that program. So any questions for the department? Senator Bocas?
Just for clarification, this
sure.
is a revenue-raising, it's not a fee-for-service, right? It's a revenue-raising mechanism, correct?
Well, it is a recording fee, so, I mean, you could say it's fee-for-service because it's funding those exact, as you see in the bill right here, it's funding for conducting groundwater studies, carrying out groundwater monitoring and administration enforcement, so on lines 9 and 10, page 3. Senator Przanski?
And wouldn't we say that that is actually a fee that is being imposed on those who are actually getting the service?
Yes.
So I would disagree that it... I mean, it seems
it's
to me
not
that it
general
be,
revenue
it may
raising.
Be saying that there.
I'm just looking. I'm reading the Ways and Means LFO thing, so I'm just raising the questions so we have it on the record.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're saying revenue, but you could say the dollars raised through these fees, but it is going towards funding that. Yeah.
And Madam Chair, it says future expenditures; these revenues may lead to additional other funds expenditures and reductions to the general fund.
Yeah. Okay. So any other questions for the department? All right. Thank you.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I move the adoption of the Dash 2 amendments dated April 22, 2009, in Senate Bill 788.
Senator Przanski moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated April 22, 2009. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection?
Yes.
Okay, Senator Atkinson, so
Object.
Noted. And Senator Boquist.
Madam
Madam Chair.
With that, the motion or the dash twos are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 788 as amended by the dash twos to the floor with a do pass recommendation, and recommend that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay. Senator Prezonsky moves Senate Bill 788 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation, and recommend that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Yes, Senator Atkinson?
Question. Did any citizens ask for this? I mean, non-lobbyists.
Yes.
Okay.
We actually had citizens in the work group and the League of Women Voters, who
no,
I don't
no,
see
no,
in
no,
here.
No, 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 no lobbyists. I'm not talking about lobbyists. I'm talking about
League of Women Voters members
were
not lobbyists.
Okay, well, I think they are. But any citizens, non-lobbyist citizens, ask for this bill?
I don't know if you want to come up, David Moskowitz. But we've had...
I'm just curious. I'm not being difficult. I'm just curious. If any non-paid lobbyists...
Well, I don't
were
think League are paid.
Ask for this bill.
Senator, I had requests from League of Women Voters members in my district.
Well, good.
Senator Dingfelder and members of the committee, my name is David Moskowitz, here on behalf of Water Watch of Oregon. I am a lobbyist, but I think I could comment on the origins of this bill is that constituents of Representative Brian Clem from the Salem area actually asked him to put the bill in originally with this concept that started this discussion, because he has citizens in his district, right, in this watershed, essentially, that are seeing their groundwater rights, their permitted groundwater rights, declining. And they believe that it's exempt wells surrounding them that is causing this, and that is why they requested this. And we support this fee because we believe that when exempt groundwater rights go in, when they put a well log in, they actually get a priority date. They do not file any application fees, and yet they get a priority date. And that priority date actually would require the Water Resources Department to regulate to protect that date from other exempt uses, as well as from existing rights. So that date is very important. So they receive a benefit, and that's why this fee is actually, it's going to allow Water Resources to regulate to protect that right. And that's why we support this bill. I think that's why citizens and Representative Clem's district support this bill.
I will say that I also did hear last session, because this was a similar bill I had last session, from residents of Bull Mountain in Washington County and from lots of folks in the Marion County area, because we were dealing with groundwater issues in Measure 49. I don't know if you want to add on that.
Yeah, I would say we did, and what I was going to ask David, my understanding is the area that you're talking about that's in Representative Clem's is just west of town in the short foothills areas that have had those impacts to their wells.
I also will note, and I've asked Katie, we have several members of the work group that were there, and we're going to ask them to come up. I will say that the home builders, who I thought were going to be here, and the realtors were both on that work group. I spoke to John Chandler and to Sean Jillians, and they actually support the bill. And part of that was, originally it was a, they support this amendment. Yeah. Originally this was a, to get rid of exempt wells and also to have a permit, but this has been scaled back to registration. So I have authority to say that on the record because they had to be in another committee. Katie, I know you wanted to say something, and then also Richard, if you want to come up, you're welcome to.
So Katie Fass with the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. I stepped in late, so I'm at this point not exactly sure which amendments got...
We're adopting the dash two, which is the groundwater registration fee. Yes.
So Oregon Farm Bureau actually supports the dash ones, which are the giving Water Resources Department the ability to put a permit requirement in groundwater limited areas because of concerns that our members have on the impacts of exempt wells on their current permitted senior water rights. However, I will say that my board yesterday met, and we are supportive of the $250 fee in addition, but would like to see the bill pass out collectively with the Dash 1s and Dash 2 amendments, I would say.
All right. Thank you, Katie. And Katie served for many months on the groundwater task force as well.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Doug Riggs on behalf of the Central Oregon Cities Organization. I was not a member of the work group, thank goodness, because I didn't want to spend that much time in the interim working on this issue, but I had a feeling it would come back. Let me give you a little perspective. We've worked for the better part of a decade to put together a collaborative, comprehensive basin mitigation conservation program in the Deschutes, which has allowed development and job creation to go forward after we were groundwater unlimited in the 1990s. We have not until this point supported any fees for particular issues, but I will say that since the cities have been stepping up and paying almost the full freight of the mitigation and conservation effort in the Deschutes, to us this is an equity issue. And with the department very limited in the amount of money they have for groundwater studies to better understand the impact on exempt wells, we would be supportive of this, the Dash 2s. I haven't seen the Dash 1s, but we are supportive of the Dash 2s. We think it's part of the puzzle. But city residents and citizens, not lobbyists, but residents of cities already pay for water. Irrigation districts already pay for water. Farmers already pay for water. And it's the exempt users. In our basin, we have 15,000. Another 12,000 on the way in the next 15, 20 years are coming into the basin with demands on the system and no contribution to the solution. And so we view this as a partial contribution to the very expensive solution that we're facing.
Thank you. Any questions before I bring up a couple more? Just to be fair, I should call up the rest of the committee members that were here, work group members.
Well, why don't you ask if they want to come up?
You guys in the back, you want to come up? Richard and Jerry. Thank you. Thank you, Katie, for impromptu. The Dash 2 should be in the back, too, so that would have been. Jerry?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jerry Schmidt. I represent the Oregon Groundwater Association. I will dispute the last statement that people in the city pay a fee. Both rural people and urban people pay a fee for delivery. They don't pay a fee for permit. The issue here, I feel, is that you're charging one element of the population $250 for the privilege of withdrawing water and doing groundwater studies. That particular subset amounts to 1% of the water use in the state. Now, if you spread that over everybody, I could agree with the fee. Because the urban person, if you take that house out of the urban area, put it out in the rural area, it's going to use the same amount of water. Studies have shown that both those urban uses and the rural uses will use approximately the same volume of water because there isn't a different fixture in there. Irrigation might be different. They will have a larger garden usually in a rural setting, but I'm just talking about the domestic use inside the house. So if we want to make this system fair, it would be, and since we drill wells for urban folks as well as rural folks, we would like to see this fee spread over everybody if we're going to have a fee, because it's only fair that everyone should pay the fee. And if you're having groundwater studies on the back of those folks that use 1% of the water, what about the other 99%?
Thanks, Jerry. Before you move on, I just want to respond with all due respect. As a City of Portland resident, I do pay a fee because we do have groundwater wells. They are permitted. So we already pay a groundwater permit fee, which is spread among the ratepayers. So just want to clarify that for the record. And you may want to support Senate Bill 740, which is a fee on all water right holders, but it would not apply to exempt water right holders. So that's what this is doing. Richard? You got about 2 minutes, and then we're done. So you get the last word, Richard.
Thank you, Chair Dingfelder. Following up on what Mr. Schmidt had to say, in terms of a fee on water use. If indeed a fee was exercised across all uses, whether it's an exempt use in terms of groundwater or a permitted use of groundwater or a permitted use of surface water. If everyone was on the same page, I would not object to a fee. Take, for example, assessment of 75 cents a month per household in this state. Water use fee, use it for conservation and education. 75 cents per household per month would generate about $15 million a year. To me, I think that's an equitable approach. But again, I think to keep in mind that exempt wells in this state, Chair Dingfelder participated throughout last calendar year, basically, for a consensus group. And I think at the end of the day, the consensus was we could not reach consensus. And I think that is as close as we did come to consensus. But groundwater uses in the state of Oregon in terms of exempt wells represent about 7% or less than 7% of groundwater use. In terms of overall water use, it's less than 1% of all water use in the state of Oregon. To single these people out to suggest they pay a fee and use those dollars for overall groundwater research, perhaps benefiting those people, but benefiting all uses of groundwater, I think is an inequitable approach. I think in terms of education and conservation, that would be a far better approach. But Water for Life would like to go on record, much to the surprise, I would imagine, in opposition to the amendments.
And Richard, can you state your name for the record?
I'm sorry. Okay. Richard Kosasan with Water for Life.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you coming up. And I will just mention also, remind you, gentlemen, we have Senate Bill 740 in Ways and Means, which is a water fee on all water rights. So expect to see you there.
I call the question.
Okay. So we have on the table, Senator Przanski moves. Did you already make the motion?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Move Senate Bill 788 am I reading the right bill? Yes, as amended with the dash twos to the floor with a due pass recommendation and recommend that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any further discussion? Well, we had not had a hearing on this, so I want to make sure that everybody come up and say their piece on this getting stuff. Okay, and seeing none, why don't we have the clerk call the roll just for the last bill?
No.
Senator
Aye.
Aye.
Vice Aye. With that, the motion passes. The bill is recommended for referral to the Senate's desk for consideration to be sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. We won't have a carrier unless it comes out of Ways and Means from that committee. With that, committee members, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 88. Be prepared on Thursday that we will have, the agenda's already been posted. We will have House bills. We have quite a few, so expect you to study up on those, and we'll be ready to go on Thursday. And note that we are done early. Thank you for your hard work.